In your Bibles this morning, over in the Old Testament, Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 10, starting at verse 29, we find an interesting story here. It says in verse 29, "Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will he do to you." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for the Word of God who speaks to our heart. Lord, let the Holy Spirit just flood our hearts now and open our hearts that we might receive the Word. And God, we'll give you all the glory, for it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen. I want to talk about indecision. You know, we have a hard time making up our minds, okay? Today we have a very hard time. And the indecision is the spoiler of many of our dreams. You know, I pray that God will wake us up and that we will look at our lives and the things that we do and pray about those things in our lives that God may use us in a mighty way. A lot of times we have to count the cost and look at the lives of people, but God wants us to move forward. In everything we do, we as a church shouldn't be moving backwards, okay? We don't move backwards. The Bible says the church presses forward and the gates of hell can't even stand against us. But this morning, before you leave here, you will make a decision. You've got to decide. I can't decide it for you. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, not this evening, but today, right now, is the day of salvation. You see, life demands action. Every one of us must decide. Oh, I wish I could be saved for you, but I can't. I wish I could make those decisions. You see, in this story, Moses and the children of Israel, God has delivered them out of the bondage, out of the slavery, out of the chains of Egypt. He used miraculous miracles and demonstrations of God's power. And Pharaoh's army pursued these millions of people, men and women, who he had let go. And now he is following them, and they're going to wipe them out. They come to the Red Sea. God moves again in a mighty way and opens up that Red Sea, and they walk through on dry ground. Well, Pharaoh's army comes in behind them, and the waters close. They're on the other side. They have praised God. They've celebrated. Now, Moses says, let's gather up our things, and let's go to the land. March to the land which God has promised us. And Moses says, let's go. It's time to move. And then he gives an invitation to Hobab. Little is known about this man. He's a brother of the wife of Moses. And he's Midianite here. The Kenites were in the land. They were there. He knew the land. He knew where they were going to be. And Moses says, you know, You are one of us now. You've been with us. Come go to the promised land. Come go to that blessed land that our God has promised us. It'll be good for you. God will bless you just like He's blessed us. The appeal is to come with us. Come along. It'll do you good. You know, I believe with all my heart, God has blessed us as a church. I believe I've watched this church grow from 1985, and I have watched things happen in this church, and God has always blessed us. He always will bless us. If my people, He says, what a great song, will humble themselves and pray. And I thought about that a while ago. You know, we ought to fall on our knees. I realized we couldn't get back up, but we should have got on our knees. But I thought, oh, Lord, let us pray to You. Let us seek Your face. Let us do Your perfect will in our lives. You see, God says, I have blessed you. And as believers, we need the church. I don't know about you, but I need this church to make it through this life. I have watched people come into this church and join in with this fellowship, and God has begun to bless us with more and more people in this fellowship. And oh, it's so good to know that God has blessed us with just the amount of people that He wants. And then we train each other. You know, I need the church for training. God says you're to make disciples and teach them. Oh, let me tell you something. I hope you are coming to our Bible study on Sunday morning. We have such a great time. I believe every class that we've got teaches the Word of God. And you can grow in that Sunday school class. This church needs you. You are important to this church. Don't ever think that you're not important. Every person that comes to this church, God adds to this church as He sees fit. And you are here for a purpose. Amen. God's got you here. You need this church, and we need you. God says, I want you to be committed. I want you to be committed. You know, and if a church is going to work as it should, we need committed people. Committed people to attend our church. Committed people to work in the ministries of this church. Oh, I tell you what, I am so glad that the children down there now, they've left out a while ago, but we have a children's church in the other building, and it's going on, and we've got wonderful teachers to teach them. I think they teach along the line of the Bible lesson every Sunday morning. So they get it from Brother Bill in here, and then when they get down there, they go a little further into it down there. And that's the reason we see so many of our young boys and girls coming to know Christ, because they are fed the Word of God. We don't feed them just a good time and cookies. They're fed a Word of God down there. They will learn from, I always think, from the very beginning in the nursery. I hope and pray that they're teaching and singing songs about Christ down there. At a very young age, their little minds are developing, and they learn by hearing those words that Jesus loves them. I thank God for Tony. He's with our youth, and they work so hard. He works so hard trying to teach them the Bible. Know what the Bible says, know what they believe, so that they, when they get adults, they will know about the Bible. And I'm so glad we have adults here. Boy, I tell you what, I appreciate every single one of you that are here and are faithful and committed. We need you, and you need the church. Be committed to it. Don't just join a church, man. Serve in that church. Be there with that church. The appeal is, Moses says, Hobab, would you come with us? We need you. You'll do us good. Oh, I keep thinking about that. I imagine he knew where all the water holes were in the land, so they knew where to get water. But you know what? God wasn't really worried about that, was he? Later on, when they added water, Miss Moses struck that rock and it comes forth. Oh, God blesses us. According to our faith, God just continues to move in the life of this church. Oh, what a wonderful invitation he gave him. Sealed by the promises of God, Hobab, would you come with us? God is blessing Israel, Hobab, and God will bless you. Come along with us. If you decide this morning to answer God's call, his call is for you to come. Come join in with the kingdom of God. If you're lost without Christ this morning, the decision you need to make is the one to repent and come to Christ as a little child and say, Father, I have sinned. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to come into my heart and change my heart. You know, God does that. Someone asked me the other day, did I know what a change had been made in someone's life? And I said, yes. You know what? God changes our hearts. He changes our lives. And he'll change your life this morning. If you're lost without Christ and you want to accept the invitation, he says, come, just like a little child. Come to me. Confessing your sin, saying, Lord, I trust you. I want to live for you. I want to turn my life around. And God says, I will come in. Oh, I love that word, that saying where he said, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. You know, you can just sit down at the feet of God and learn the word of God. What an invitation this morning. Today is that day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, would you come this morning? Don't leave this building without trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then if you are a member, if you're already a Christian, let me tell you something. You answer God's call to be committed to this church. You answer God's call to work in this church. You will be blessed, and we will be blessed. You know, I don't believe there's any big or little people in the kingdom of God. We're all useful. Every single person is, to me, a giant in God's kingdom. If they will serve, if they will work, just let God use you. You're doing what he wants you to do, then do that. Keep serving God. And then there's always the call, come join us. Oh, I would like to see people added to the church, not for number's sake, but because God adds to his church as he sees fit. And folks, let me tell you something. Every person needs a home church. I believe that with all my heart. And then the answer comes. Hobab says, Moses, I'm satisfied. I think I will stay with my people. I will go back. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't like that call. I believe he missed on the blessings of God. You never hear him anymore. He goes back and the pages of Hobab is never printed again. And Moses and the children of Israel march into the history books. They march into the Bible. They march for God and receive the kingdom of God that he's blessed them with and the promises of God. I hear so many people like Hobab today. He says, well, preacher, I am satisfied and happy. Oh, that's the curse of many people. Don't get me stirred up, preacher. You know, don't upset the apple cart. We don't need change. We're satisfied. I think that's a lie from Satan, you know. We should never be satisfied. I want to keep asking God for greater and greater things. Man, the whole life through, God used us in a mighty, mighty way. And then I hear people say, well, preacher, don't change anything around here. We like it the way it is. Well, I do too. But I think we can improve on things, don't you? With God, I think he wants us to do better. One of the worst prayers in all the Bible was found in the city of Judea. Jesus came into that city. He was performing miracles. He was healing the sick. He was redeeming the demonic. The swine ran off into the sea and drowned. And all the people of that town met Jesus and said, "Jesus, leave us alone. We're satisfied the way we are." And Jesus departed. He left them alone. Folks, let me tell you something. That is a dangerous thing to do. Is when we in our life say, "Oh, I'm satisfied the way things are. Jesus, we don't want any more baptisms here. Jesus, we don't want any change here. Just leave us like it is." Well, let me tell you something. You're either moving forward and growing or you're slipping back and dying. You see? Things don't stay the same. I don't see the wisdom. Some people say and say, "What y'all are doing?" Well, let me tell you something. Y'all ain't doing nothing. It's your church too. We grow together around here. Moses, you are marching into a land of promise. Have you ever seen that land, Moses? Well, no. Well, how do you know it's out there? I'll tell you how you knew it's out there. God said it was. Folks, when God says something, He means business. I know God wants this church to grow. I know this God wants this church to move forward. I know God wants us to help in missions and things like that. And I know He wants you to be committed to it. You see, that's the Word of God. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to do things. He wants us to minister to people. Folks, we can't do that if we're not committed to the Lord. You've got to be committed. Moses lived by faith. Faith, don't look at the facts. Faith believes God. Faith believes God. What if someone else lives there, Moses? All you have is a word from God that He's going to give us that land. Folks, that's typical life, isn't it? I'm going to live only on the basis of what I can see and feel and touch. That's not faith. Faith is standing on the Word of God. It's getting out there with God and believing God's Word. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, all of these people by faith move forward on God's Word. Not on the, you know, it may not work out on paper. It never has for me. It always works by faith in God. I don't put my faith in people. People let you down every time you turn around. But God never lets you down. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people will perish. We must live beyond the seen. You know what I'm talking about? If not, then our lives are in trouble. We must trust God and Him only, or our lives are in trouble. We must live by faith in God. He's real. He is present. He is powerful. And we're His children. I tell you what, when you're His child, all is well. Nothing this whole world does surprises me. You see, faith, not sight. Faith in God, not sight. We will sing how powerful God is. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And then we go out here with our heads lowered, whining because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I know one thing. God's still in control. You see, we got to believe that. We don't live by what we see, feel, or touch. We live by faith in the Son of God. And we look to God for the things that we need. You know, we can't look to man. We've got to look to God. Let God change people's hearts. Man, I tell you what, keep looking up. You know why you need to look up? Because if you look up, you'll see God on the throne. He's not in the grave. You don't have to look down. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's on the throne, and he has a purpose for his church. You know, over the years, everybody has tried to stop his church. Everybody. All this world has tried to stop his church. But the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Now, if you believe that, you don't have anything to worry about. You're not going to fret. But if we are disobedient, then we've got a problem. When these people looked to the fire and followed the cloud, they were walking with God's power. When they disobeyed and they didn't follow God, then they were in trouble. Folks, we must follow God because all is well with God. Then, I think a lot of people say, well, preacher, you know, I need to make a decision to follow God. I need to make a decision for Christ. But I think I'll put it off till tomorrow. Moses, I said, and the children marched forward into the Bible, into the history, and Hobab was forgotten. Folks, tomorrow may be too late. You see, tomorrow is too late. God says today you must decide. In a way, the church is like Israel. In a way, church is like Moses talking. You see, we are marching forward, always expanding our life, growing our life into a good and vital fellowship. Let me tell you something. We've got, I believe, the sweetest fellowship in Henderson County. We may not be the biggest, but we have the sweetest fellowship of any church, I believe, I've ever seen. I've heard people say, time after time again, they have gone to other churches and no one greet them. They leave, it's cold. They come here and the fellowship is so sweet. People will greet you. People are howdy with you. People want to know you. And that's not put on. It happens time after time again. And you know what? You can find friends here. Yeah. I've been to churches before. Let me tell you something. I can go to that church and I can sit there. I can join that church and I can sit on that bench for a year and not have a friend in that church because they already had their little groups. That's sad, isn't it? But that's the way it is in many churches. I pray, God, we don't have any groups in this church. We're one in Christ here. Oh, what a sweet fellowship. What does God say to us? In a way, this church is moving forward. This church has a good fellowship. Come to Christ this morning. We are children of God. I like that song, Marching to Zion. We're children of God marching forth with the Word of God. But you know what? The days are short. I believe with all my heart the end of time is getting closer and closer and closer. I see the way of the world. I see the attitude of people. I see the, you know, the television. It's just filth. I heard some of the candidates use language on television that, oh, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. I can't believe we got people with such running the country and wanting to run the country that don't have an IQ enough to know what cursing is. You see, they don't know enough language that they have to use something that foul. That's a shame. And you know what? It's spreading across our land. Our little children are using words that if I used a word like that, I couldn't stand up for a month. I'd have been begging to lay down, you know. What's ahead? What is ahead for us as a Christian church, for us as a believer? What's ahead when you give your life to Christ? I'll tell you what's ahead. A useful service. A useful service. Man, let me tell you. He says, God can use you. And that's the invitation of the gospel. We are saved that we can serve in the kingdom of God. I think about when all the disciples were together and they were talking, and Jesus had a big multitude, and he says, guys, we're going to feed these people. And he says, go out there and see what kind of food we've got. And one comes back and says, well, Lord, I found a little boy. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that's not going to feed a crowd like this. God says, give it to me. Oh, let me tell you something. That little boy, along with Jesus Christ, fed the multitudes that day. God took what he had because he was willing to give it. And he multiplied it. Let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart, we may not have much, but what we give, God will multiply it. Multiply it. Souls to Christ, folks. Not only that, our freedom is ahead. We sing an old song, would you be free from the burden of sin? The power in the blood. Power in the blood. You want to be out of bondage of sin? Then come to Christ. He's the only one that can set you free. I was telling them Wednesday night, I had a friend that he was an agnostic. He wouldn't believe anything. You had to tell him everything about the Bible, but he wouldn't believe. He was a bit little older than I was, but we worked together for years, and I got to talk to him. I knew him real good. He had retired, and he built a nice home there outside of Recklaw. He had everything that most people would want, but he didn't have Jesus Christ. And he would not trust Christ. And he was so miserable with everything the world had to offer that he killed himself. You know, that's sad, but that's so true. So many have everything that this world has to offer, but they cannot get peace. They cannot have joy. And I talked to him many a day about Christ. And he said, Booney, I know you and Ken are different. And I said, you know, Jesus makes us different. Can't you see that? And you know, I don't know if he just denied Christ so many times and said no to Christ so many times that the Holy Spirit no longer worked in his heart, but he died a lonesome death. Sad. You can get freedom from that. God can release you from those little shackles of sin and give you peace. He can change your life. You know what else is ahead? Jesus is ahead. He's always ahead. He's ahead walking before us. You see, regardless of what you've done, regardless of you think you're the worst sinner, God is waiting on you to change your life. He invites you to come to him. And then you know the great thing? Heaven is ahead. Heaven is ahead. You want to go to heaven? I do. I preached on hell last week. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have anything to do with that down there. I don't want anybody else to go there. There's already enough there. I don't want to see one person in this church this morning die and go to heaven because you didn't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm looking for that glorious coming of our Lord. I'm looking forward to that heavenly home. I'm looking forward. Hey, let me tell you something. Heaven is a place you're not going to float around on a cloud all day and do nothing. That wouldn't be heaven, would it? You can do that down here. You can sit around all day and do nothing and still grow old. No, we're going to serve our Lord and Savior. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to fellowship we're going to be singing about God and giving him the glory. Heaven is head. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Man, my hope is in Christ. I see it by faith. Heaven is ahead, but it calls for a decision for Christ today. Indecision will spoil everything God wants to give you. Your destiny rests upon the decision that you make for Christ today. You must decide. Will you give your life to Christ and be used in his church? Or will you die without Christ? Or go out of here and say, well, preacher, let me think about it a while. You may not have a while. You see, someone preached a sermon. I don't even know who it was now, but the great preacher one time preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and he pictured in the hands of a loving God, not angry God. He preached, he pictured a man hanging over a fire, and all that was holding him was a string. Folks, picture yourself over that fire, holding onto that rope. It could break at any time, and you would drop off into eternity lost without Christ. Christ wants you to come to him. Get off that rope, get away from that fire, and live an eternal life with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today is that day. All you have to do is take a leap of faith. A leap of faith. Say, I am going to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Seize Christ while you can. Claim him as your Lord and Savior. Work in his church in the kingdom of Christ. And take your stand for him. I took my stand for Christ years ago. Let me tell you, he has never disappointed me. And he never will. I will love him till the day I die, and then for all eternity. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my friends. But oh, how I love Jesus more than anything else. Do you love him today? If you do, then commit your life to him. Serve him wholeheartedly. You see? That means, you know, make a commitment to him. Be in his house. Worship him. Or decide, I'll put it off to another day and go out of here lost. And if death comes, you're lost for all eternity. Folks, that's not very good, is it? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have a decision to make. Lord, there's people all around. Lord, I pray that we'll make the right decision. If someone's lost, let them come. By faith, don't let the devil get the victory and put it off. Just stand up and come. Even right now, while I'm praying, you can start out. If there's someone here that's a Christian and you need to recommit your life to Christ, rededicate it, whatever you want to call it, today is that day too. And maybe you're looking for a church home and this is the place God has led you. Would you come? For it's in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.